Off the Ball Rugby.
He enjoyed being out in the open country, but the pass that Gibson Park gave Ioane in that 65th minute, can't say enough about it. The technical beauty of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a hard thing to do.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Morning.
Oh, hi, energy.
You have to introduce us.
We're not even supposed
sorry,
to be
sorry, Adrian, how are no, you? Dara, how are you?
Jer.
Matthew, how are you?
Hi, Jer.
That's very, very formal, isn't it?
Yeah. We should do that.
Anyway. We haven't seen each other. Too.
We should exactly. do a roll call. We should do like a...
Yeah, be more natural than...
Oslauer.
On show.
Saying on hello show. When we've already done in the office an hour ago, like...
Call him as Oslauer. It was because Munster got beaten again.
Yeah. He always disappears and
Cork.
What happens.
Yeah. Cork got beaten as well.
Yeah.
He could be hanging around Carton House looking to get some autographs off the Man United.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Apparently there were a lot of celebrity Irish people out there yesterday hanging around trying to hang out with the Man United fans.
Yeah.
Hot sniffers.
Matthew Brennan being one of them.
No, I'm not.
He was working.
Yeah, come on, no. Jesus. Not even a United fan.
You're not even a Leinster fan. You've been to those Leinster opening training sessions as a kid, weren't you?
No. I went to an Ireland one time. In Mullingar.
And that didn't convert you?
I met Conor Murray.
That put you off rugby for life?
No, not directly. It wasn't really on it in the first place, but I went to that. I don't know.
Probably that's enough to get you in, no?
A long time ago. I actually, funnily enough, a bit of a story on that. So I got the picture with Conor Murray, and there was someone from the Westmead Topic was there. And my mom had been kind of shouting, and she told Conor Murray it was my birthday. And it wasn't my birthday.
Whoa!
It wasn't my birthday. And the man from the Westmeath Topic heard her saying to him that it was my birthday. And he took a picture, and it was on the back page of the Westmeath Topic saying
so hang on,
birthday it's like, delight or something on it.
It's a brush with a celebrity, and you become a local celebrity, and still you don't like rugby.
Mm.
What does rugby have to do?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
What year was this now? Oh, what's
God,
the ballpark?
It's like maybe
find the picture.
20. Yeah.
Good shout.
Oh God, I don't know. It would have been 2013.
Which fake birthday was it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
What was the advantage of it being your birthday?
Like, he might just come over. They were kind of everyone.
What age would you have been?
I'd say I would have been maybe 11, 10.
Turning 11 that day. Maria.
11, 12. I don't know. Jesus.
Did you expect 13 or 14 years later to be on Ireland?
No. Oh God.
Broadcast
no, yeah,
getting grilled
God,
about
God,
this
no,
event.
No. Well, I put myself here. I didn't have to bring it up, but I did bring it up.
2016, maybe, or is that too late?
Oh, jeez, it could have been.
I think it is.
It could have been. Yeah.
Bear with me here. Talk both to yourselves.
Yeah. No. but yeah, that was. Everyone was up against the railing. The players were like finishing up their session or whatever they were doing, and. Mom just said that thought that was a good way to kind of get
good idea, yeah.
And come over to very me as opposed to the kid next to me, you know?
Yeah.
And it works.
Like when you go to a hotel and you say, oh, it's our anniversary. And
yeah, or a restaurant, you get free bill or you get upgraded and that sort of
thing. Because they have in your CRM system, you can never go back there.
Okay.
They're like, oh, it was your anniversary last March and now it seems to be October and it's still your anniversary.
different anniversaries.
Yeah, you got married twice, did you?
Get upgraded. Why not?
Yeah, there you go.
Right, I'll go for the newspaper headlines for you. And sorry, the world obviously still exists this morning, which is a welcome relief for those of you who are watching sports programs as opposed to watching the news. You're doing the Lord's work. Kibosh, super sub Havertz strikes at death to put Gunners back on track. Wow, what a performance it was by Arsenal to get away from a rampant Sporting Lisbon team who should have won the game but didn't.
Poor old Martinelli is getting a bit chaffed in all the headlines today. Like, he must be waking up going, ah, lads, come on now. 75% of this was me.
He did good, but Havertz's finish was also class. Two-touch, super sub Havertz is the headline on the London Times. Slot warns of humiliation. I mean, it's right there for PSG to really inflict significant pain. And perhaps end the Arne Slot reign?
Well, it's pivotal, isn't it? Like, in that conversation.
Mick Fitzgerald interviewed in the Examiner today, reflecting on the most famous Grand National interview of all. This obviously happened way before you were born, but have you ever, do you know anything?
Is that the one with the bomb, was it? No?
No, I don't think so. It's 30 years on. So Des Lynam is presenting and Mick Fitzgerald wins on Rough Quest in 1996. After that, Des, sex is an anticlimax. That was the immortal line that he delivered, which on the which I suspect would have been on the BBC. But if Des Lynam was doing, oh yeah, we'll put it on the BBC. Can't be saying that at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, can you?
Yeah, I thought. The bomb thing was I saw him telling a story the other day about he won a race. There was a race on, and he had to leave the course, and he ended up going back to some house somewhere, and was worried that his father was going to get caught up in whatever was going on, and he got back to whatever house this was, and his father was in the house serving the tea randomly. It was right. Mick Fitz as well, so it's a different story, but of a similar vintage, I suppose.
The Examiner giving Martinelli his flowers. Martinelli and Havertz combined to stop Arsenal rot. Is that peak Martinelli? Is that like?
Well, he looked like as if he was about to fall over himself at one point. He's out near the touchline. He'd done like 4 more step overs than Ronaldo would typically do, and then produced a moment of brilliance.
Havertz has last laugh, and then the players back Carrick for permanent job because all the Man United correspondents were carousing, I suspect, in Carton House or maybe more likely Dublin last night.
I think a lot of them were staying in Dunboyne, actually.
Oh, really?
Randomly enough, yeah, a few in Dublin.
What's in Dunboyne? A hotel?
Hotel.
Castle, is it? Castle, yeah. Or some form of trim castle type thing in Dunboyne.
Yeah. Have a go, hero. It's Havertz and people who have a go, you know, stopping crime, ordinary people stopping crime, like, you know, absolutely minted millionaire footballers have already won the Champions League for a different club. They're the same. Have a go, hero. Super sub Kai's eye on the big titles. No Cobra Kai. Flying Kai is the star. Anybody watch any Cobra Kai?
No.
I
know of it, but I've never watched it.
No interest, no.
I just never got right.
No, no, sorry, yeah, no.
No, you don't watch anything.
No, no.
Just not near the original, though, isn't that the thing? Mr. Miyagi.
Did that come out around?
Oh, it's a spin-off, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And
was
your man
COVID
who's in
time,
the...
Yeah.
Daniel's son is in it, isn't he? He's now the mentor.
They're all in it. They all showed back up. It's the story of the guy he beats in the final.
Not very good.
Oh, okay.
Are you saying, are you recommending it?
No. I'm like a little bit like that. I was like, could I get into this? Oof, I'm not sure. Motivated McIlroy contemplates back-to-back glory at Augusta is the headline in the Times. It must be so hard for the Munster people listening to all the Leinster people lecturing them on what to do. Good man, Gordon Darcy getting stuck in. Munster can only move on when they decide to leave the glory days in the past. Oof. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're not supposed to. It's terrible. It is really terrible.
It is really unfortunate, yeah.
It feels like the glory days have been left in the past. I don't think that's their biggest.
Oh, no, they're hanging on. It's, the faded. Well, we are, you know, like all the great clubs. Until a new messiah comes in and fixes it. Mm. McIlroy to go on attack and bid to go back-to-back is the headline in the back of the Indo, and they've got Kai Havertz finish. Curiously, the biggest and best stuff that happened last night isn't on any of the back pages, really. You know, is that because we're so insular, we don't care about the brilliance of Bayern Munich against Real Madrid?
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus. It was some game in general. It really opened up in the last 20, 25 minutes. When Bellingham came on, actually, I think he changed the game, but... Yeah, you can nearly just go through the whole start 11 for Bayern. They're all such a team of names. Like Luis Diaz, Gnabry, Ulisse.
How did it end up as 2-1 was the thing. Like you were saying, it opened up in the last 15 or 20. It felt like it was really open the entire time. And like I know the Bayern fans go up to the Bayern players go up to the away fans afterwards. And if you hadn't seen the game, you'd be like, oh, this is amazing. They're going up to say, Jesus, this is brilliant. We won 2-1 at the Bernabeu. We're in with a great shout here. Whereas actually I was looking at it going... Jeez, largely must be hugely disappointed. Like, it should have been...
They're very wasteful at times, yeah.
Is there a little bit of regret that, like, you give the opportunity to kill the greatest zombie team of all time?
Mm.
Like, so often that Real Madrid side in history have been out and dead, and they're like, no, not dead.
Yeah.
Play the Undertaker music.
I think there's probably obvious fixes for Real. They're not going to put Carreras on Alicia again. He tore him to shreds. So that's probably an obvious fix ahead of the second leg. So yeah, I'd expect Madrid to come back in some fashion, but geez, Vincent Kompany, the job he's doing there, it's actually unbelievable. Like people questioned him a lot when he got that job, but it did take him a while. He wasn't succeeding straight away, but Jesus, I think, did I say it yesterday? I think they will win it all.
Was it Vinny Jr. who was over hugging him or somebody at the... Before the game, at the start of the second half.
I didn't see.
You think Barnet win outright?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, yeah?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Like, the only danger is, was it Newcastle-Barcelona a few weeks ago? Newcastle were ahead going into the return leg. Have I got that right?
No, they were drawn. They conceded late.
Oh, yeah,
they
yeah,
should have been.
Yeah, and then they got ripped in the penalty,
yeah, they got torn to shreds.
Like, there is a possibility that, given the forward options around Madrid, and there was definitely a possibility to put that game away yesterday. Like, you know, brilliant, brilliant chances. Meccano, 3 yards out after about 10 minutes, was there 5 minutes?
A couple of, the keeper looked a bit shaky there. At one point, Lunin, in the first half, Lunin,
there's a couple of mistakes,
and a lot of kind of getting corners off of misplaced passes and that sort of thing that usually you think they would cap pounce on one. But Harry Kane is an amazing footballer, isn't he?
He's some operator.
He's
probably not underrated anymore, I wouldn't say. I think people are finally realizing how great he is, but Jesus,
He's in line for a Ballon d'Or, isn't he?
Now that he plays for a big club, is that what you're saying, Darren?
Well, look, would Spurs be getting ready to get Harry Kane? Say anything
close. I think, if Bayern Munich win it,
It's just the only thing is, I suppose, that you've got a World Cup coming up that undoubtedly the best player in the best team will probably win the Ballon d'Or. But he's doing himself no harm.
Yeah.
Doing himself no harm.
Like, Neuer, should we talk about Neuer?
40.
Like, it's actually ridiculous. I was looking at it, right? So he made his senior debut in August of 2006. George Bush was still the president of the US. U2 had swept 5 awards at the Grammys earlier that year. Pluto was just about to lose its status as a planet. Martin O'Neill just been appointed Aston Villa boss.
Pluto's not a planet anymore.
No.
Ah, Adrian.
It's a dwarf planet. And just one month prior, Zidane had been sent off in the World Cup final.
Wow.
Like, that's how long he's been playing football.
Italy played their final World Cup knockout stage game.
There you go.
He did have a couple of moments. I'm not sure they were to do with the fact that he's a pensioner, but, like, where, you know, the urgency to get the ball back out to one of his teammates for a counter-attack.
He has had moments over the years as well. There was
went straight to a Madrid feet twice.
Yeah.
And then there seemed to be a moment on the second time where he went, right, I'll actually hang on here a couple of seconds and just wait and see. But by and large, I'm totally with you. He was a safe pair of hands, is not coming close to it at the age.
I remember he had it would have been about 2 years ago. He had an unbelievable performance against Real Madrid, I think it was, and then dropped an absolute clanger right at the end. And Madrid equalised, and I think Bayern ended up going out. But his longevity is remarkable. Like, the 2010 World Cup was like, it's like this guy is revolutionising goalkeeping, and he's still there doing it. And they've brought in keepers, young keepers in the past as well, kind of preempting Neuer possibly calling it a day, but they've come and gone and Neuer's still there.
He's 3 months to go on his contract.
He had a horrific injury as well when I think he was in a skiing accident. I should have checked that before I came out because I was talking about it earlier, but I think he broke his leg maybe skiing and was out
Gabe's
for a while.
Not done though, right?
No, it's not. No,
it's not. Like,
no. Not being, like, so the XG, I was checking it there, 1.97 for Real Madrid, 2.99 for Bayern. Generally, if you've got an XG of 3, you end up scoring more than that.
Yeah. I see Cahir mentions it there as well. Like, I'd be surprised if Bayern didn't concede at home in the next, like, at some point, but also the same breath.
They've scored in every game this season, like, exactly, so you'd expect them to score as well. It's obviously not over, but it's some performance stuff.
It's teed up beautifully, to be fair.
Yeah, it is.
The Mbappe shot at the end of the move that went the whole length of the pitch for Real, and it was still 2-0, I think. Was it still 2-0?
The one that goes across the face of the goal.
The keeper saves it in the down in the corner. I was like, well, that was pretty good.
Mm.
That
would have been from a really narrow angle.
It was just it was just their ability to go from back to front so quickly.
Well, even the goal and Trent's movement, that ball in as well. It's the back post.
It was the pace of the ball, wasn't that?
Yeah,
people were raving about it. It was
caught me off guard nearly.
Like, the area that it goes into is the famous corridor of uncertainty.
Yeah.
But it was the pace on it. And Mbappe's ability to predict that pace and get in there.
You can't defend that, yeah.
Completely. And then I don't know what happened, but the Red Sea parted for the Mbappe shot that goes wide. You're like, he has to score that. I know,
well,
it's
the keeper's rooted to the spot
40 yards out, but
Is he
rooted to the spot by 40
yards?
I think he got his position in
the
little,
I wasn't sure. I was looking at the other angle. First angle, I thought he knew that was going wide, and then the second angle, I'm like, oof.
I think he caught himself a bit on the
wrong foot,
near side the goal. Yeah,
the defense just ran backwards instead of. I mean, I know, obviously there's a plan for that. They're containing space and they know that he can run past if they go towards him. But, like, closing down any of the space.
I'd like someone who knows about defending to explain to me what they thought they were doing.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of them slipped, which didn't help.
And suddenly Mbappe is like, oh, I've got 30 yards to run into here. He takes 15 of them and then pings it. John McGinn would have scored, obviously.
He did kind of catch his foot in the ground a wee bit. I think that's why it didn't go in.
Would you have any sort of strong opinion on the Vincent Kompany rise in that, the total sort of prioritisation of his own image at Burnley has actually worked?
You know, Burnley did play really good football under the next manager who came in when they won the championship, right? Weren't they the best team in the championship? Did they win the championship?
I think it ended up being tight with Leeds in the end. They were the best team in the championship, but they played
great football then. They were free scoring. Scott Parker likes his passing.
They were the total kind of.
Let's see, none of us is watching them. You're the total championship king here. So
they conceded like 20 goals the whole season.
Yeah,
they were total defense first as opposed
first
to.
Season, yeah.
But they did also.
I suppose
what I'm saying is that he inherited a club that was Sean Dyche's club.
Yeah,
and now they play a bit more ball.
They're somewhere in between.
A bit more progressive.
They're not totally Dyche, but they're not.
Not Vincent Kompany.
They're not Vincent Kompany either. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Do you blame him for becoming one of the best managers in the world at the moment?
No.
One of the most successful managers, and on his way, there was a few eggs got broken for the omelette.
Yeah, no, it's dog eat dog, I suppose. You do have to prioritise yourself. I'm sure his goal in life wasn't to win the Champions League with Burnley.
Is it also just incomparable? These are two totally different jobs. Like, you might be absolutely ill-equipped for the other.
Of course, but he's gotten picked to take over Bayern Munich. Not as their first choice by any means.
Twelfth choice.
Yeah. But he's gotten picked to take the job based off of what he did at Burnley. And if he had gone in and played with Burnley and, you know, battened down the hatches and tried to keep them up maybe more so than he did and sticking to his principles, they wouldn't have
hired. I wonder, did he get picked off the, as you say, like, obviously he was well down the list to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, he probably got picked as much for the player that he was. With a bit of managerial experience that went grand and then not so good, you know.
Yeah,
like he wasn't a nobody plucked from nowhere and put into the Burn job on the basis of what he did with Burnley.
Pep Guardiola would have recommended him. That's how that works. That's how people ring Pep and they go, who are the best managers who might be available for these jobs? And if he's your friend, he tells you what he really thinks. And if he's not, I don't know if he answers you, but so
do you know what I mean? Like, and he's made a great success of it, obviously, and things are
I think when he went in to do that interview, though, so I know you say Pep would have recommended, I don't think that would have been that would have been an important part of it, but he would have gone into an interview and he would have pointed to the fact that he played this type of football with this team and had a reasonable amount of success in the Championship and little to no success in the Premier League. But he stuck to his principles and players bought into it. That would have been how he sold it. So I think if he had have moved from his principles with Burnley and tried to, as I said before, batten down the hatches in a Sean Dyche type way, I think that would have worked against him when Bayern were looking to hire him. But as you say, if he didn't have the player career that he had, then obviously he wouldn't be in this job at the moment. But he's doing very well. And I've always had a lot of time for Vincent Kompany as a captain. Even as that Man City team was always found quite unlikable.
We should ask Nathan when he comes in his opinion. He was always, I think he was on the opposite side of the fence to you, Matthew, in his opinion of Vincent Kompany.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, but he always felt that whenever the cameras were on him, he knew the cameras were on him as a player.
I think he still does, but.
Is that his own clothes brand?
I don't know.
Did I see him wearing a baseball cap with VK on it?
McManaman said he looked like he just came from an Oasis concert on comms last night.
He's got style.
Yeah.
And did McManaman say that in a way? He's like, oh, that's class. Or like, ugh. What was that? Yeah. So being good or bad?
I don't know. It was kind of, it just felt weird at the time. It was like, okay.
He's really,
like in the middle of the game.
2025 zeitgeist.
Yeah. Well, when you're not wearing the white runners and the brown and white runners and, you know, there's a identical uniform that you should be wearing. And he's not doing that.
No. He'll be the second youngest manager to win the Champions League if he does it this year. After
Roberto Di Matteo?
Pep.
Oh, Pep.
In Barcelona.
How long? Di Matteo has a good show, actually, yeah. You'd be managing. When did he win it? 2013 they won it?
Who?
Chelsea.
2012, wasn't it?
2012. And he'd been doing. He did what, the MK Dons in 09. It's 3 years prior. Yeah, he wouldn't have been old. But
could Pep do it with Burnley, I suppose, is the reverse point of your...
Di Matteo's 42. How old is Pep?
Point, yeah.
38.
Right. How old is company?
I don't know the answer.
39.
That's pretty good. Good career ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, plenty of time.
He did manage in Belgium for 2 years, but it was during COVID, so I don't know how much actual...
football he saw.
Yeah. Obviously got a bit. It was Anderlecht.
Well, that's just to see what he's like, isn't it? Just give him a trial and if he's cut out for it, he is or not. Is he a future Man City manager? He probably is. Down the line.
Hard to... Yeah, maybe. I mean, obviously Pep has gone that way, but, you know, Europeans probably look at Bayern Munich as one of the best jobs. If you're...
It depends how attached he feels to Man City, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he might feel very attached to Dublin as... his pay packet.
That's so cynical.
Like, go out with the win the Champions League. Pep, obviously, as we all know at this stage, is leaving Manchester City at the end of the season, and suddenly the gates have opened.
Would you be at all surprised to see Pep stay for another season?
I think so. Yeah,
like all the mood music has been his time is now. But the team is young and still forming, and there was a lot of work to go through. It's like a lot of pain and. Learning about the family situation of 5 or 8 new signings so that you can actually walk in and, you know, talk to them in a meaningful way.
Mm. I'd say the next few games are pretty important. Has he made the decision already?
None of that, I'm being facetious, clearly, but everything he says, his behaviours feel to me like somebody who's been freed of the pressure of a long-term plan.
Mm.
You know.
I'm sure he has the go-ahead to change his mind, though. Like, they'd allow him that. I think he has enough credit in the bank to say, actually, I kind of like this team.
Do a Fergie.
Might stick around.
Well, they obviously love Enzo Maresca, and Pep loves Maresca. So, if Maresca doesn't get a job soon, you'd have to assume that he's on a promise. There's a lot of other stuff we need to talk about. Roy McIlroy, obviously, annoyed the whole country by saying he doesn't like Irish food.
Mm.
We don't have the clip, do we?
No, we don't.
So Rory got a bit of grief from the foodies, particularly Nordy foodies. They were like, you know, we have lots of good stuff here, Rory. Anything. Just a little nod to, you know, Down in Hollywood.
What would that be? Ulster Fry? No, what's the difference between Ulster Fry and your average Free State Fry?
Soda Farrell's potato bread.
All right. Nice.
Very good, yeah.
Potato bread.
Mm. Is there too much been made out of this?
Hang on. You jumped straight forward. You jumped straight to the end there without giving any of the evidence.
Yeah, haven't actually explained it.
I'm just looking it up here. McIlroy selections include elk sliders, rock shrimp, tempura. So, Dublin Bay prawns. There you go. Straight in, if you want. Wagyu filet mignon. Yeah, you know, a good old-fashioned...
Tuna. Tuna
Irish ribeye.
Carpaccio.
Is there tuna carpaccio? There's Irish tuna if you wanted it as well. Sticky toffee pudding for dessert.
His mother's.
Even like, you know, with a scoop of Dale Farm if you want to, instead of being HP. Yep. We would have taken that.
Mm. Dale Farm.
And the booze was good, right?
Did you say instead of HB?
Yeah.
As in they're definitely having HB.
Well, they're the same.
No, but I mean, I'm sure, what's the American version of HB? Is it HB?
I don't know.
I don't know. We've gone down a rabbit hole.
Probably is it.
Yeah, who knows? And cherries or whatever it's called.
People keep asking me why I didn't go more Irish. I said because I want to enjoy it as well. Ha 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 ha. And if the Irish hacks laughed at that.
Yeah.
Ah, lads.
You're just as bad.
We're taking
as
ourselves too seriously.
We're not. Why be a dick?
Well, he didn't really see it that way. Yeah. It was probably a left.
Yeah, but a lot of people do things, you know, that they don't see it that way.
It was probably a naive comment.
No, you're just giving him now.
The offence here. I have.
Everybody who was watching yesterday knows I am on Team Rory. Like, yeah. Very passionately on his side. Yes.
Yeah, you are.
But
yeah.
Like, I'm suddenly off the bus.
If you want to be upset about something, then the thing has to be that he didn't tip the cap at all with a bit of Dale Farm or a bit of something or other. And it wouldn't have been hard.
No, no. The problem here is like, Irish food is shit.
I think if he just says nothing, it's grand. And
I think if you ask Rory a follow-up question to that, or listen, the furore that's been correct, exactly.
Expand on that.
The furore that it's caused, he will be asked about this at some point, hopefully not this week, but at some point after that. You made some disparaging comments, will you tell us about that? And he'll go into great detail about how he loves this, that and the other, and it'll be all good. What I'm saying is he made a naive, flippant comment that there's more depth to it that I'm sure we'll hear fantastic things about down the line. So,
Food scene in Belfast is unbelievable at the moment.
Yeah, it is.
Like, absolutely.
But is that Irish food or what is it?
Yeah. Okay. Like any food cooked in Ireland is Irish.
Well, I mean, is that a spice bag?
You can't get a spice bag.
It's like literally an Irish
bag. You can't get a spice bag.
I know.
Go on now. Eat it better.
I do a spice bag.
Matthew, read us out the bullshit that AOL Golf or what was it?
Oh.
Bet365 US.
I'll try to find it. I'm after losing there. They said
Rory spares us.
Sparing the other players haggis or something like that. Obviously, haggis is not Irish. Bet365 US if you're listening.
He said he had put a lot of thoughts into the words. He said, whatever about the food, I put a lot of thought into the words that I have to say to this inspiring group last night. Now they are minus Tiger and Phil, obviously.
Sorry, it says Rory sparing everyone on the haggis.
Yeah. They're just
one of the all-time great shit posts.
Gaslightness.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant, Reg. It caught me for a few minutes there and I was like,
well, you're actually genuinely pissed off about this. That he said.
I think it's just a weird thing to say. Like, yeah,
I don't know. What's he gaining from it?
Like, I can understand if he went, I want everyone to enjoy the meal.
So that's go on then. What's your conclusion as to why he said it?
Why he said it? To be honest, I think he might have misspoke and meant everyone and not himself.
He did say everyone, and then
I know, but like I feel like he just said it.
And I wanted to enjoy it too.
Yeah, that's what he said.
But he doesn't really mean that. It's just a Rory.
I'm trying to.
It's a Rory.
Yeah.
What's a Rory?
This is the thing that he's done a million times over the course of his career. He, you know. Because
but he always said it was always a Rory for saying the truth.
Nah, sometimes it's like stupid stuff like the Ryder Cup stuff. You know, there is a litany of a Rory, and it probably, you know, he's had one of these things in front of his face since he was on the Jerry Kelly show when he was five years
exactly.
of age or whatever.
He should have been better.
And he just kind of forgets that it's there, and he just says stuff and. That's him. He's kind of a quirky person. I wouldn't be listening.
Well, that's the press room laughing.
The menu. My main thing about the menu is it didn't. I didn't think, like, who wants sliders? Like,
I wouldn't mean.
Well, you're not eating it.
Who mean any of that messing? You know.
Get the comments involved here. S. O'Donoghue said, "Come on, lads, take a joke."
Yeah,
but it wasn't a joke.
It was for him.
Shit. All right,
but it might have been a bad
don't
joke.
Eat here. Next time you come to Ireland, you're not allowed to eat. No food for you.
Here, Love Sue's. Who's had coddle?
No,
I've never had coddle. No, either.
No, I haven't either.
No, nobody around the table has had coddle. Any viewers have had coddle? It doesn't look the most appetizing. There are words we can use
on,
that we
it's
won't.
On his menu, is it?
No, it's not. But okay, like, right. I, you know, in
and
the
he
world
mentioned
where
coddle,
you choose, nobody has mentioned coddle. Rory wouldn't even know what coddle is, right? It's a Dublin dish, but it looks manky. And it was just more from the point of view of Irish cuisine being a thing that we should be offended about.
Yeah. Yeah, look, we're not going to cancel him over, but I just think it was a totally unnecessary comment to make.
It's a silly thing to say.
Yeah, it is.
It's very silly.
Yeah. Naive.
But anyway.
Sure, we're here now.
We're not.
Anyway, sorry.
Go on.
He said that he was putting a lot more thought into the words that he was saying to this group. Like, there is an awful lot of arsery about this stuff, isn't there, in fairness? Like, you know, like the food and the speeches and there was a big thing made about it. Reading one of the articles today, Alan Chipnuck's new book is out about him, unauthorised autobiography, which it seems like they'll all be unauthorised until the sanitised Rory version comes out at some point down the track.
What does that mean? He never asked for permission to do it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's not the first of those, there's been a load of them. But that last year he pulls up, goes up Magnolia Lane, is invited to some secondary dinner for other people, including himself and Justin Rose and others. I think there's 8 people around the table or something like that. But to get there, you have to drive up Magnolia Lane, pull up to the front of the clubhouse, and then take a right where the other lads are going straight in the door. And there's a big collection of the players up at the balcony, and he's trying to avoid any eye contact with them because of the embarrassment, ultimately, of the whole thing. So, you know, now here he is walking in the front door, hosting. Big, very big deal for him. It'll be interesting to see how all that plays out once the starter's gun goes. Will it be a distraction? Hard to see it being a motivation now. But, you know, the eagerness, as he said in the press conference yesterday, that he could feel palpably from outside of the ropes of fans saying, oh, just go and win the thing. Obviously, just isn't there anymore.
No. We are going to talk more golf with Nathan a little bit later on. Carlinho 888 losing his absolute mind in the comments. Is it not sunny in the Philippines this morning, Carlinho? I presume you listen to us in the evening, sipping a Mai Tai and staring off into the distance, wondering about what life would be like at home, or delighted with the fact that you're sipping a Mai Tai and it's, you know, in the gloaming of an early evening in the Philippines. And still you're pissed off that we're talking about McIlroy and not Shane Lowry. We're going to talk about Shane Lowry with Nathan about 10 minutes.
I'm sorry, by the way, like, it's the anniversary of the greatest thing he's ever done.
We shouldn't be talking about Manchester United,
but we are. His first ever defense of it.
Like, they're not even relevant.
Carlinho, get it pissed off about this
one.
Yeah,
exactly.
Carlinho will be all over this. He likes his football, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a big Everton fan.
All right, okay. Interesting.
So maybe not.
Well, okay, we don't want to talk about Man United, right? So
we don't want to talk about Man United. We just sent you out there to talk to them yesterday.
Yeah, but...
All right, it's like the first time they've come over in, what, like 2 decades or something?
Is that right, Jim?
In a training camp setting?
Well, they were over in Talca Park. Remember, Roy Keane came over. We had Sue Ian talking about playing against him.
Oh, yeah.
Roy Keane's first game back after Saipan. A little glimpse of what we missed against Spain when we could have beaten them and reached the World Cup final.
There's no escape in the World Cup stuff, is there?
No.
It always just comes back.
No. Terrible. It's a forever thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, we've had a texter in touch here, Dr. Snugborough. Sorry, I'm reversing into the previous talking point here, but bear with me. My partner makes an incredible coddle. I'm not a dub and I'm converted. Comfort food at its finest. Rasher, which I didn't appreciate was in it. Rasher sausage, potato and onion, finely chopped. I'm salivating thinking about it. Boiled rasher.
Salivating.
Simmered.
8 o'clock. Oh.
gently, you know, slow cooked.
No, my mom enjoys it now. My mom's a...
She's
a dub, yeah. Okay. And she likes to call it now.
So
you should go and try it for the show.
Yeah.
They do good ones around the town. The place, the Oval, is that the... They claim they have the best one in town.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I'd feel like I was wasting a meal.
On Abbey Street. I mean, there are many more meals in your life unless you're planning on dying tomorrow.
Absolutely.
That roll.
Boiled sausage, though, just looks like...
It looks grim.
It doesn't look good.
It does look grim.
We were getting... The cool cheese revealed themselves, says Michael in our... Because they're not selling... They're not serving coddle out in Croaks, are they?
No, I haven't seen.
Out of the clubhouse.
I bet you they would.
How much would it cost you to get a coddle out of this establishment?
14 quid.
That's all right, isn't
it? For a couple of boiled sausages and a boiled rasher.
Listen, paying these days, like it'd probably cost you more to get there.
It's in Abbey Street.
Yeah.
Like, how are you getting there?
If you're getting a rickshaw.
Let's say, like, you know, you were in the car and you had to get from here to Abbey Street and it was at 5:30.
Well, today, you're not going anywhere because the blockades had started again this morning, which I think was a big surprise to everybody coming in this morning. But anyway.
Jeez, we're touching on everything here this morning. not missing anything.
So Power ranked the best coddles in Dublin for us in the comments.
Yeah.
And,
please do.
I'll go and rate them.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Thanks, Adrian.
You think?
I'll go away a sports person.
<It's> like,
you don't need to do that. Just go.
Sometimes
on.
They do good shit in this show.
That's right. Sometimes. That wasn't how I intended it to come out. You see, I've done a Rory. That's
come on, Man United.
Sorry, yeah, I was in Carton House yesterday. We got to talk to Amad Diallo and Brian Mbeumo in a press conference type setting. We got two clips to play. First one, where obviously the appetite isn't totally there for Man United at the minute. So I asked Brian Mbeumo about Keith Andrews and Nathan Collins, and here's what he had to say.
When you were at Brentford, Keith Andrews was someone who was in the background, and now he's gone on to take on the job on a full-time basis and is doing pretty well. Is he someone that you were impressed by when you were working with him at Brentford?
Yeah, of course. I think he's been a big part of our success as well last season. He was taking on the set pieces, but he had already his capacity to talk, to motivate, and to bring the best of ourselves. And I'm not really surprised for what he's doing this season, especially because they still as well kept a strong group as well, and then. Yeah, I'm very happy with what he's doing.
And then just on Nathan Collins as well, obviously he's a big leader in the dressing room for Brentford and he's a leader in the Republic of Ireland camp as well. How much did you enjoy playing alongside him and how good can he go on to be?
Yeah, I think he's got a good potential in the future. When I was there, he was already like a good leader with his voice, motivated teammates and... Basically, a good person. So yeah, I really enjoyed to play with him. And yeah, obviously we still have a good relationship.
Yeah, I thought the most interesting part of those answers, which naturally, you know, were reasonably vague, but the thing about Keith Andrews having the capacity to motivate the players while he was essentially just a set piece coach does show that, I suppose, he had maybe a little bit more responsibility than perhaps we were led to believe when he was just a set piece coach, you know. And similar for Nathan Collins saying he was a big leader with his voice, because it's something with Ireland that sort of gets questioned about him, that maybe he's not quite as vocal or as kind of leading as he should be or could be, especially when Seamus Coleman wasn't there, obviously. And even now, like, that Seamus Coleman is there, it seems as though he even said it himself that it's made his job a little bit easier, which is a good thing, but at the same time,
in the short term, yeah.
Yeah, you'd want that to maybe... I was thinking as well, like, obviously when Seamus Coleman wasn't in the first couple of squads, it looked as though we were lacking leaders in there big time, especially when we went away to Yerevan and lost. I wonder now, was there a conscious effort from the likes of Nathan Collins and from the likes of, I don't know, Jason Knight, whoever it might be, to have proper observation of what Seamus Coleman does actually offer as a leader and maybe not take it for granted in the way that they would have done previous?
Yeah.
Not that you can learn and copy exactly what it does, because it won't have the same effect. But
you can certainly work on the characteristics of what it is and when and how. Like, I remember listening to Stuart Lancaster talk about trying to get some of those young players to be better leaders and actively working on all of the skills around that. So some people are obviously naturally a bit more reticent. Everybody's personality is slightly different, but you can just coach a bit of that.
Yeah.
Next time this happens, here's a video. You're very silent there. He's just fucked up. Pardon me. fix that.
Yeah.
You have to tell him what you think. Or next time that happens, he needs a bit of help. You go over and you say, no, you're still, you know, come on, we can do this.
Yeah.
That's all very rudimentary stuff.
He's 25 in a couple of weeks, so, like,
now's the time.
From a captain's point of view,
is heading into the Euros, like, for the Ireland, we always look at this from an Irish perspective, but obviously is the bread and butter is your club, really, and we want him to be, and like, he mentioned himself that he had a bit of an injury when he was out of the team that time, and there was a bit of a niggle, but I do think with Keith Andrews, I feel like he had been dropped. You know, I feel like the two...
It felt a little bit like that,
I think, like, I think he had come out of the squad because of the injury and the two players who'd come in...
Then he came back in and made the horrific mistake.
Yeah, exactly, off the bench, yeah, after a couple of seconds, like, so...
I think it was a wealth of riches as opposed to, you know, like, three Vandenberg, Iyer and himself, they are really good options.
Having captained the side, it was like, you're going to have to earn your place
totally,
here.
Totally, but there was the context, and I wasn't aware of that there was a bit of an injury, and that's why he was kind of sitting out.
That's why he came out initially, and then the lads who'd come in
were playing well. And like, it's not as if, you know, they have really good options, like...
And they do.
Some of those players are going to end up leaving that club, you would suspect, this summer, and they'll be the worst off.
Especially when he's at they're playing a four at the back. He's obviously not at his very best in a four at the back, and then also there's less places. Mm. You're only playing two centre halves as opposed to three. But
I'd be interested to see him develop as a four in the back, because obviously that will allow him to move to some of the better, bigger teams.
Mm. Yeah.
Also, maybe we can play four at the back for Ireland at some point in the future.
Absolutely.
More bodies in midfield. Good to have options.
The nature of the questions yesterday were Keith Andrews, Nathan Collins, Croke Park. There was some other Irish stuff in there as well.
Funny you say that, right? There was a lot of the kind of Man United hacks that would be following them around England all the time. They were all there yesterday. So most of the questions were actually about Michael Carrick. As far as when it came to the Irish stuff, there was the Croke Park stuff, and Ahmed Diallo and Brian Mbeumo wouldn't have spent any time in Ireland. They wouldn't really know any of it.
It's a constant topic of conversation when Ahmed was at Rangers. I can't wait to play for Croke Park.
That's the other thing. You do forget that. Yeah. I'm surprised that wasn't asked, actually, considering. But it was there was all the Croke Park stuff, obviously, as well. There was a couple of questions about, because obviously Jack Morehouse is in the United squad. There was a question asked about him. They didn't have much to say.
No, he needs to do good. If he does good stuff, he will
and
get.
He played for the 21s for United last night against Real Madrid, and he scored an absolute cracker.
All right,
so good to see. Good little talent. But on the Michael Carrick stuff, I'm sort of sure people have seen this already. It's kind of been the main takeaway. Now, it was persistent questions about Michael Carrick. Do you think he should get the job? to both Ahmad and to Mbeumo. Ahmad was more giving with his answers, I suppose, and this is what he had to say about the potential for Michael Carrick to continue on as a Manchester United boss.
Yeah, he's been a great regret. He's been doing so much for the team. He has a lot of experience and he knows the club, he has the DNA. So we think he's the right man, but we are really happy for what he's doing right now.
I was young all the time with no experience, but yeah, and he was there to help me. He was there to give me advice. I was playing a lot of the game with under 23. And I also remember I also met him when he was in Middlesbrough and I was in Sunderland. He knows the club, he played for the club, so he has great experience, I think, to manage his club. He's been here not too long, but he's been doing very good. And his relationship with every player is very good. And yeah, sometimes you need this kind of manager to bring the club where they end up. And yeah, I think my personal salary is the right man. That we are not. If not, the player would decide if he's gonna be the manager. But we are really happy to have him as a manager.
He doesn't need to go half as far as he does there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I see Saw Doctor coming there. What else do you think they're going to say?
But well, it's, like, that's up to the club to decide. Things are going well at the minute.
And also it's their full right entitlement and the historic body of evidence for all of these players where if it doesn't happen, that comment never happened and they move on to...
But he does, you're right though, he does expand there. Like, he says, my personal view is that he's the right man for the job.
And I've got these personal experiences of him.
Yeah.
And I went out of my way to meet him when we were in the Northeast.
Yeah.
At the same time. You do forget that Ahmad's 23 but has incredible level of experience and has gone and had to prove it the hard way and is now, you would say, a key member of the squad.
He's also been injured for a while as well and come back.
And everybody looked much better when you're injured and the team starts playing really badly.
Exactly,
you add in, you're like the one-man plan B.
Yeah.
Right, is that enough?
We haven't discussed what an unbelievable week of just support it is. It's one of the greatest weeks of the year with the stuff that's gone on. Started the Ulster Football Championship, Champions League quarterfinals,
Sligo Leitrim,
Champions Cup quarterfinals,
Grand National,
Sligo Leitrim, Grand National, the Masters.
Yeah. Champions League, either side.
Champions League.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
I don't think that's
Smoggy final.
European rugby on as well.
Champions Cup quarterfinals.
Yeah, good European rugby.
Yeah.
To lose in Bordeaux playing this weekend, are they?
Yes.
I mean, that's going to be the best game of the year.
You watch that game, Sunday, 3 o'clock.
If you could parachute yourself into one, to play in one sporting event.
Well, it has to be the Masters, right?
Any
that's
sport.
The headline.
Ever.
Yeah.
No, not historically, like just to, to play World Cup final football. Yeah.
That's the only answer.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, the Masters would be tempting just from the basis that it's...
You knock
a week out of it.
What is the question?
If you were to parachute yourself into one sporting event to play in, what would it be?
Are you your shit self? Are you like...
You've warranted...
You're Zidane.
Warranted yourself
you're
here. I mean, I'm not sure you're Zidane, but like...
You're just space jamming in there, like you're taking someone else's... Okay. Ah, yeah. To be fair though, if you were Rory last year,
you can't.
I'm tempted by the fact that
I couldn't be Zidane or Maradona, so you can't be Rory.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying. Look, you're
the 54th best player in the field of
Jimmy. You're Jimmy Traore here. This is the benchmark.
Jimmy Traore had a great life.
The Masters is tempting because it's a week, so you have a full week of it.
Yeah, the World Cup lasts forever.
Yeah,
we're still talking about Saipan.
Yeah.
Anyway, this
All Ireland football final, I'd be very tempted by.
It's a good question.
It has to be the World Cup.
You know, we do a pre-show meeting where you can come up with stuff.
That's a great question, though. We'll come back to that.
Do you want to expand on this?
You think it's the Masters?
Have you ranked this?
No, I haven't. I have to say, I'm asking the question here, and I haven't really. The Masters is tempting because it'd probably be that. I see Dermot Keenan saying here the Ryder Cup. I get that too.
I'd probably
go Masters first. I do understand clearly the World Cup final. There's something about an All Ireland football final that's drawn me that direction.
And do you get the celebrations as well? Is it the entire experience? Like,
I don't know at which point.
Do you know at the end?
Do you remember that show? What was that?
Gone goodbye.
I don't know. Do you remember that show? Remember in the 80s? I'm only going to ask you this one. Do you remember your man who...
It was BBC. I'd never watched it.
Yeah, you know, where you get teleported into a scenario and you had to go and fix it?
It's something.
Yeah.
it's a three-word title, isn't it?
Was your man from Highway to Heaven in it?
No.
Somebody else?
No.
Let
Skinny guy.
Something rate or case or something.
Yeah, yeah, you're on the right track there.
Anyway,
that's what it is.
You get drafted in, you get drafted out. I mean, I think you should be entitled to enjoy the celebrations if you've done all the hard work.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability. Following pharmacist consultation.